Good evening. Here at the Kalamazoo Museum, there is on display an unusual exhibit which I believe a great many of our listeners will want to see. It's a traveling exhibit of medical appliances that have actually been sold by quacks to cure the ills of the American people. This exhibit is being sent on a nationwide tour by the American Medical Association, presumably to show how we have been hoodwinked down through the years by medical quacks and charlatans. This exhibit that's being shown here at the Kalamazoo Museum was first shown at the Cleveland Health Museum. Kalamazoo is the second city at which the exhibit has been shown on its national tour. Here with me before the exhibit is Alexis Prowse, curator of the museum, and Dr. Kenneth L. Crawford, Kalamazoo physician. Together, we're going to examine some of these gadgets and attempt to describe them to you. The first one I'm looking at right now consists of two small metallic cone-shaped affairs. I should say they're about 3 inches long, 2.5 or 3 inches long, and they're called Perkins tractors. Mr. Prowse, can you tell us anything about these Perkins tractors?
Why, yes, Dr. Dunbar. These tractors were invented by Dr. Perkins in Connecticut way back in 1798. They consist of two metallic bars, one of iron and one of copper, and have had great medicinal properties attached to them.
That's what the claim was.
Yes, sir, that's it.
Well, Dr. Crawford, could you tell us anything about where this fellow may have gotten the idea for anything like this?
Well, as to where he got his original idea, I don't know. All I know is that he found that by taking these two cone-shaped tractors, as he called them, rubbing them over the point of pain toward the point of the part of the body which was not affected, and he apparently seemed to get some results. He patented these and manufactured them very secretly, would not allow anyone to know exactly what metal he used in them, and he made quite a success of it.
Made a lot of money.
His son took these tractors to England and I think came back with something like $30,000 profit, but unfortunately for him, some British doctor made a couple of these tractors out of wood, and he got the same results exactly. So poor Dr. Perkins finally had to give up the use of his pins.
We read here on the exhibit that Dr. Perkins himself died of yellow fever contracted while treating a patient for that condition with these tractors. Why in the world do you suppose they call them tractors?
I can't imagine why or where he would get it, except that he would, by drawing them over the body, he apparently would detract the pain from one part out of that part and into perhaps another part of the body or on way on out even.
You think the word tractor might come from the word extract, perhaps?
Extract or withdrawal of the pain from the body or the diseased portion.
Mm-hmm. I noticed over here at another point in the exhibit, there's another device that perhaps is based on somewhat the same principle. These are called axene plates, and they're called, the subtitle is Health Without Medicine. Will you describe these axene plates to our listeners, Mr. Prowse?
Why, yes, Dr. Dunbar. They consist of two plates, one of copper and the other of zinc, and they were placed in the shoes, and it was claimed that they substituted youth for old age and cured such things as uric acid, diabetes, paralysis, asthma, eczema, high blood pressure, and even low blood pressure. Perhaps Dr. Crawford can tell us something specific about this particular fraud.
All right, Dr. Crawford.
Well, I expect these metallic things came from way back in the days of alchemy, in which people were searching for gold. They attributed all kinds of success in treatment to the different types of metals. As a result, it is felt here, apparently, that certain electrical impulses might go from one part of the body to the other because of the fact that one is copper and the other is zinc.
Well, now, it's interesting to note that this Perkins tractors, which we've just examined, also consists of two different metals in these two conical-shaped metal strips here. It's a little bit of the same idea, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes.
We might move over here to another device which looks quite a little bit different, but which also may have employed somewhat the same principle. This is a necklace intended for the treatment of goiter. It has a string of yellow and orange colored beads, and there's a double string at the place where it goes over one's neck, and apparently these were to be worn around the neck in order to cure goiter. The device was sold for $7.50. And along with this necklace went a tube of ointment which you rubbed on the goiter. The ointment was an iodine ointment of some sort. And between these beads on this necklace, there were alternate copper and iron discs, I believe. Here again, Dr. Crawford, we have the same idea of using two metals. This is comparatively recent, isn't it?
This type of goiter necklace and the plates to be worn in the heels of the shoe are comparatively recent origin, much more so than the Perkins tractors.
I wonder how recent it was, Mr. Prowse.
Why, that was patented in 1916. In 1931, the Post Office Department issued a fraud order against it and departed forever from the mails.
I noticed that several of these devices were declared a fraud by the Post Office Department. I suppose that comes under the heading of the federal law against using the mails to defraud. The Federal Trade Commission also has something to say about affairs of this sort, doesn't it, Dr. Crawford?
Yes, it certainly does, for the reason that practically all these things are sold through the mails. And the only way that the government can possibly check up on them is by getting after them through the Post Office Department.
Then the Federal Trade Commission, I think, can issue cease and desist orders against manufacturers of that make false claims. Isn't that true?
That is right.
Now, here's another device right before us here, the radium pencil. This is a small, looks like a gold-plated a very small gold-plated pencil with a safety pin attached to it, and apparently it came in a very fine, expensive-looking case, and I see here on the display sign that the pencil sold for $125. What was that supposed to do for you, Mr. Prowse?
Well, Doctor, that was supposed to write away your ills, literally and actually, though it deprived you of $125 first. You can see from the caption that comes with the exhibit that if you were weak, it made you stronger. If you had eye trouble, you could see the spots better. If you were deaf, you could hear better. And, it just goes on and on. Dr. Crawford, what is the basis for these radium devices?
Everybody has heard so much about radium and radioactivity in the last few years, of course, that they feel that anything which consists of radium or radioactive waves must have healing or curative qualities. As a result, these pencils, for example, or other types of nostrums have come into being, and certain people who wish to make quite a little money out of them have made quite a little money out of them.
Speaking of radium, I notice here we have another gadget called the radiendocrinator. It is supposed to rejuvenate the endocrine glands and be good for what ails you. And I'm told that this gadget sold for no less than $1,000, although when the going got a little rougher, they reduced it to $500 and then later on to $150. How did this work, Dr. Crawford?
Well, it's a beautiful-looking case, lovely gold lettering on it, and lovely-looking little oblong-shaped box, 3 inches long and 2 inches wide, with a screen and covered with a sort of a cellophane wrapping.
I think they furnished a canvas belt to wear around your body, did they not?
If this could be worn against the body, of course, supposedly, from whatever radioactive waves might be generated from this little lovely-looking box, could go into the body and help to rejuvenate one.
Dr. Crawford, what's this affair over here that looks very much like a leather horse collar, only it has an electric plug and electric outlet here?
Well, this is a comparatively new thing. It is something which I know has even been used in Kalamazoo, called the horse collar for human beings. And they claim that it magnetizes the iron in the tissues, and therefore it will cure disease. Of course, in 1939, the Federal Trade Commission issued cease and desist orders against this horse collar being used anymore.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that people fall for these quack devices, Dr. Crawford? How does it happen that these men have been able to get so rich out of faking the American people with these supposed cures for their ills? Have you any thoughts on that matter?
Well, I believe in the last few years, of course, modern medicine has used more mechanical devices. And as a result, people wished that they might have something of that type to use themselves. And consequently, if they are discouraged in their healing process at the hands of their regular physician, they feel that they'd like very much to have some mechanical device of their own to use.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry that time will not permit us to examine all of these exhibits here, but I think what we have said gives our listeners an idea of some of them. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, Mr. Prowse, are going to want to come down and see this exhibit. For your information, let me say that the museum is located on South Rose Street, just south of the public library. During what hours is the museum open, Mr. Prowse?
Why, the museum is open, Dr. Dunbar, daily from 9 to 6, excluding Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Prowse, and thank you, Dr. Crawford, for helping to describe these appliances for our listeners. Evening at 6:45, we will present another program in the Know Your City series with information about the multiplicity of appeals for funds in Kalamazoo. Now here is Dick Martin with a summary of late news developments.